read another poem?
Yeah, sure. Should I go?
Yeah, okay. Go for it.
This is one I've been working on this week, one of my own poems. It's called Roman Holiday, after the film. Putting a shoe out of place is the loneliest part of this city. Your 200-year-old nightgown is steeped of colour, stifled by pure puppetry. A tiara shimmers with a life planned out, until gelato curls on your tongue and the flavour of the day opens up like freedom. A royal flush is smeared onto cerulean sky. Camera shutters over a street-side cigarette, clicks in an unauthorised revelry. Tresses of hair are derelict duties, while rust beige ruins are blind to privilege. The idol dares you to put a hand in its mouth, because superstitions are stories dressed up as faith. A lens has to blink to capture the image, transitory blindness for a permanent print. You toss a coin over your left shoulder, and a public life funnels into the crowd. Old cities are rendered young through foreign eyes, but I'm careful not to trap the subject. A slow dance at the jetty, electric charge at each pixel. We wear our fake identities like the clothes we'll never shed for each other. The river cloak shows our secrets, which end up explicit in mutual gaze. My footsteps echo across marble. You're borne along by the crowd, alone. It could all be erased as if waking from a dream, like a Polaroid picture, unshaken.
Thanks. I'm going to read a piece of writing, which it might be a prose poem, might be a short story. It's from a book that is available for pre-order right now from Margaret River Press. I was a small part of this project, but it's a project called Fervor that's mainly been run by Paul Iskov, who's a local chef who works a lot with Indigenous communities all over the state and lots of native ingredients. And it's a book of recipes and photos, but there's also some writing in it, including a long interview with him at the beginning. But I'll read you one of these examples. It's called Saltbush. Before them, the horizon stretched forever. Where the land met the sky, it seemed to shimmer, dancing a little with the heat, melting into an indistinct white. At their feet, ants hurried on their way, carrying crumbs of dirt back to their hearth. The earth here was baked, a hard layer that was cracked and thick, impenetrable to soft hands, if not shovels. It was harsh, a crusty tundra that demanded work and patience and work again and patience more. It made the people who lived here resilient, determined, with an eye towards the expansion of sky that made them foreign to cities that hemmed one in with buildings. They had come here, just outside of town, for the bushes that grew on a small ridge to the east. It was saltbush, and they would pick it every now and then, take it home to rub over a roast or to dry and crush into a powder that they would add to whatever took their fancy. It was something their father had taught them to do, and in his dotage he had become more fervent in his attachment to the plant. They knew he had gone too far when he had brought it out and added it to the local sweet and sour pork without a second thought. Here and now they plucked and picked, making their fingers nimble and quick like the ants that hurried at their feet. And looking east at the horizon, they imagined the sun rising on a tomorrow that would bring with it new work and an imperceptible layer. So seeing as we've talked a little bit about definitions and histories and kind of technique, I'm wondering if we could like think about the reading experience as well as some of the context around it, you know, because we exist in a poetry ecosystem of which poetry making and poems are one part, but also conversations like this are part of it. So I was just wondering if you could share your thoughts maybe on poetry as like a world that produces poems as part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think oral storytelling is, like you said, so important to poetry and the poetry ecosystem. I think that it shares with short stories the fact that it can be consumed on one sitting, written in one sitting, and therefore shared in public in a way that novels perhaps can't to the same extent.
Yeah, you probably need bathroom breaks with a novel read in public.
Yeah, and I think... I think definitions, sometimes I think, well, maybe the definition isn't important. What does it matter if it's called flash fiction or if it's called a prose poem or if it's called a short story? Does it really matter? But one thing I think it does matter for is perhaps the assessment of the quality of the writing, because one thing that might be a really excellent prose poem might be lacking in a short story. I think it was Schlegel said, poetry is laughable in prose and prose is despicable in poetry. So like it's easy to, if a prose poem is too prosaic, then it becomes a little bit lackluster, whereas if a short fiction is too linguistically dense, then it can become purple prose. So I think for me the only really real reason why definitions matter, and it's perhaps quite an important reason, is that quality control and the idea of whether it's good writing or not.
Yeah, and I think in that way we kind of exist within contexts and communities and frames and maybe silos and echo chambers where there are aesthetic values and judgments and different people that we engage with and different ways of understanding that. So, for example, it might be that we know short story writers and poets are cousins in a family of resemblance. But one cousin prefers Malbec and the other cousin prefers like Cabernet Sauvignon, you know, but they're all drinking red wine together, as it were. Your Schlegel quote reminded me of a thing that Blake said, which was desire without action breeds pestilence. And I think in that way, you can have poems of desire where there's no action and there's no pestilence, actually. Whereas, like, I think it's harder to do that in prose. Like, I think there's expectations I have of a reader of prose where I expect action of a different type than, you say, in this single sitting of what poetry is.
Yeah, I think the question of expectation is a really interesting one, because when we sit down to read a short story, we have certain expectations, even if you're not expecting the same resolution or narrative impetus that you would get from a novel. And the interesting thing about the prose poem is that it really does subvert expectations, in that you sit down and you think you're about to read a story, but it turns out not to be necessarily a story, or it's a story but not in the conventional narrative sense of the word. It's more of like a, you know, that lyric moment.
Yeah, and what you're saying about convention is really important. That what we understand to be experimental writing might be very different in poetry as opposed to prose.
Yeah.
And what we understand as conventions are the things that structure that one way or the other. But I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about process. Like, if we've kind of talked a little bit about poetry in the world and the world of poems and prose poetry as part of that, can you talk about the process of writing poems and prose poetry for you, and maybe how that differs from other types of writing that you do?
Yeah. All of my writing starts in prose. So it's funny because I don't know if it was always the case, but whenever I sit down to write a poem now, I write right to the end of the page, and it's in sentences with full grammatical like usage, and it's only later in the draft that might sort of be stripped down into a verse poem with lineated margins and that kind of thing. And sometimes it doesn't shift out of that gear at all and it remains in prose, and that becomes a prose poem, and I'm not sure why that is, except for an instinctive feel for how it might look on the page. And for me, it really is more about how it looks on the page, because when I read it in public, it could be a verse poem for all people know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's quite interesting, because I think quite a lot about method, and I think quite a lot about process of like how I make a poem. My first book of poems, it was a lot about layering, and how I made that layering was through the method, which was that there was a lot of reading that went into it, and using the kind of carcasses and middens of other people's poetry to in a line by line kind of way to layer things up. Whereas I think for the kind of prose poem or the short story I just read before, that was very much a like sitting down, this is my mind. This is my an image in my mind, or a historical moment, or a feeling, or a sense that I'm trying to conjure up, as opposed to the textual element. And that's just one way of the writing process, but it doesn't always have to map up with the type of thing that's being written. I just think how we change our methods of writing can sometimes get you out of writer's block, but can also give you interesting results that you don't necessarily expect.
Yeah.
Because I think this also connects back to orality. I know a lot of poets who will write their work and read it out loud to themselves, or record it of them speaking it out loud and then listen back to it to hear that intonation, to hear that kind of rhythm and repetition and rhyme and that linguistic density, to hear whether it sounds good. So it's not only a page, there's not only a page imperative. Whereas I don't know many short story writers who do that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you draft in prose, or do you, with your poems, which are quite fragmented on the page, do you write them in that state originally?
I write them in that state originally.
Mm. Yeah.
But then I also have like another of different ways that I make poems. So like some of them are erasures. So I might start with like a full page of prose or an article in the newspaper or someone else's poem, and then like I'll erase it. And sometimes that erasure is a conscious process, or sometimes it's like through a random set of numbers. But it's not to say that I don't mean these methods to be experimental, and I don't mean them that way, but I mean them as ways for helping me generate language that I then have aesthetic judgments of, because I still want them to be beautiful and precise and considered and well-crafted, but that the journey that I take to get there is not only a process of like me sitting down and like bleeding at the desk, you know what I mean? And that's just to help me in my own making. But I think the other thing that's interesting about prose poetry too is like it sits in an ecosystem of other poems, and there's so many other types of poems, and I'm sure other poets in the room have had this experience where you're like, meet someone, they're like, oh, what do you do? Or like, you know, you say, well, I'm a poet, and it's like pin drop, you know, like dinner party spoiler, room clears out, you know, like the rooster starts crowing even though it's middle afternoon, you know, it's like it's not always the most welcome profession. I'm not saying it'd be easier to be to work in the tax office or to be a crossbench independent politician. I'm saying like poetry brings with it a different set of associations. But within poetry, it's such a big, beautiful ecosystem that kind of, there's lots of things going on. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the other poems that are in that world, from like experimental poetry to lyricism, to political poetry, to protest poetry, to like what else is in this ecosystem that prose poetry is one part of.
Yeah. I'd probably like to talk about experimental poetry, and then also the verse novel as another, verse novel being another kind of hybrid genre. Someone said of the verse novel that it's the awkward child of two successful parents that is destined to disappoint both. And like, while I don't think that, I don't want to get into a commentary on the merits of the verse novel, because I think like any type of poetry, there's good and bad versions of that genre. I think that with the prose poetry, the same criticism could be levelled at it, but I actually think it's the successful child of two successful parents that like takes the best from both worlds.
It's not the successful child of two unsuccessful parents?
No. I mean, like, I think who was it? Shane Strange said in an article in Axon, he said that prose writers can learn a lot from writing prose poetry, and like poets can learn a lot from writing prose poetry as well, because they're like free from the strictures of their normal modes, and they can get a lot out of writing in that dense form. I mean, I guess prose writers can learn how to use rhythm and musicality in a way that they might not normally, and lyricism in their writing, whereas poets in writing prose poems might learn the way to modulate a sentence so that that kind of thing. And then you asked about other types of, like, where it sits in the ecosystem of other types of poetry. Experimental poetry is an interesting one because I think of experimental poetry as very fragmented usually, whereas prose poetry is a fragment. It's glued together. It doesn't have those fragmentations within it, but it is in itself a fragment. So I think of it as I don't know. It's interesting. It's like on the other. We were talking about it as a spectrum, and experimental poetry being on one side, non-narrative and fragmented, and then prose poetry being on the other side.
Yeah, and I think in all of those things, these are ideal types of definitions, as opposed to containers that people live in and are truly reflective of what's going on,
mm-hmm.
because it depends on your evidence base that you're going to make that definition up to be. And I think what's interesting too is that how we define those things is partly the communities that are making them, partly their formal properties, and partly their kind of historical antecedents or trajectories that they kind of engage with and think through. Because I think it's harder to confuse an experimental poem with a short story than it is to confuse a prose poem with a short story.
Yeah, absolutely.
For whatever reason. And that's without saying what experimental poetry is exactly, because there's lots of different types of experimental poetry.
Yeah.
And I think, Jackson McClure, he said, every new poem needs a new theory. And there's something to the theorizing of each poem, because it is a unique linguistic artifact that exists in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's also about, how we define poetry and how we define prose. I mean, are these things, does it have to be an oxymoron? I mean, is it more than just whether it's the author or the word processor that decides where the lines end?
Yeah.
Is it something else that makes poetry poetry and something else that makes prose prose? And why do we think that two things that are so similar, different, but they're both writing, so...
Yeah. What you've brought up is a really interesting point, because these are a very small part of the language that is in the world. So, like an experimental poem is closer to a short story probably than a milk order, because there's so much language in the world. We're swimming in this sea of language all the time, whether that's conversations about poetry or whether that's like getting noodles for lunch or whether that's like reading the newspaper. There's so much language, and it's not to say that poems are statues like carved from like rocks in the mine of everyday language, but they can be that as well. And sometimes they're also just like freeze frames of ordinary language and everyday language that we kind of shift out and look at upon that become different. So I think this is the value of writing too, as a reflective art, no matter what genre or form you're working in, is that writing helps you cultivate a sense of reflection and enlightenment too about what you see in the world that's around you. And so it's not that everything ends up in a book, but that the things that do end up in a book help us think about the rest of our lives. So in that way, I was just wondering if you could think partly as well about the festival setting. Where does the prose poem fit in a short story festival for you?
Yeah. I think the prose poetry, or even just poetry, belongs in at the short story festival because it is written in prose. But then I kind of think that poetry has a place at the short story festival too, because they tell stories even if they are non-narrative, even if they aren't linear.
Yeah.
Like I was saying before.
I think poetry should probably be everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like it's kind of okay that it's here too. So I mean, it probably just means the short story festival is grateful to have poetry and poets.